If you have your Bibles this morning, open your Bibles to John chapter 3 of the Gospel of John. John chapter 3, verse 1. Let me read. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now we have approached the evening before Jesus' death. As it says here in this verse, the hour has come. It is now here. And Jesus knows that he is going to die. The cross is before him. And we will see as we get into this chapter that a series of events will quickly unfold to get Jesus to the place where he is on the cross, dying for humanity. Yet in this passage, I love how John describes the motivation of Jesus. Listen to this again in verse 1, in the last portion. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Here we see the glimpse into the passion of Jesus. Despite all the pain he was about to suffer, his love for us drove him to the cross. Oh, the depths of the love of God. Who can truly understand it? And as we go through the next 5 chapters, these are the last words and testament of a man getting ready to die, his last words to those he loved. And I'll tell you the truth of the next 5 chapters, I believe, out of all of the gospel, I don't think there's any greater truth than the last night that Jesus is with his disciples. Because we see in John, compared to the other gospels, in-depth teaching and the in-flooding of the Son of God into his disciples during that last night. And as we begin this journey through the next 5 chapters, there are some incredible truths about the Holy Spirit, about prayer, about persecution, about abiding in Christ, that if we grasp these truths, they will revolutionize our Christian walk with God. So I am excited about the next upcoming chapters. As Jesus unfolds to his disciples in the upper room, as he's preparing them to face his death, which they don't know is quickly coming. And he wants them to remember that night, and they will remember it, because his hour has come. His hour has come. But before we dig into this chapter, which we'll really be doing next week, there are some things that I think we need to know from the other gospels that will help give us a fuller picture of that night that Jesus was with his disciples. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they call it the synoptic gospels. Those, because there's a unity in the parables, in the stories that they use. John is just very different. John doesn't even have any parables in it. But if you look at the synoptic gospels, there's a lot of unity within those gospels, and that's why they call it the synoptic gospels. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that during this meal that we're about to begin next week talking about, that Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper communion that night. Listen to Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 26 to 29. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So we see that Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, that meal that we will be going into next week as we begin to talk about it. But we don't see this in the Gospel of John. And that's why I want to give some of the details about that. So when we go into the Gospel of John It gives us a fuller picture, a fuller outlook. The second thing that we need to know is that this meal they ate was the Passover meal. Listen to Mark 14, beginning in verse 12. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?'" And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. That's the scene. That's the background. Institution of the Lord's Supper, and then the institution, they're celebrating the Passover. But then this leads us to the question, what is the Passover? What is the Feast of Unleavened Bread? We need to know about that a little bit to know more about what takes place that night. Excuse me. When we go back into the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 12, we see God bringing final judgment upon the Egyptians. Do you guys remember the 10th plague? Do you guys remember what happened during the 10th plague? Anybody? The 10 plagues of Egypt, the last plague. Huh? Death of the firstborn. That after all the different judgments that God performed through Moses and Aaron to the Egyptians, the very last plague, the death of the firstborn of both animal and people. So God was going to come in judgment upon the Egyptians. But what does God do to protect his people? That's right. He comes up and he tells them at twilight, "I want you to go find a lamb that has no blemish or can't have any injuries or discolorations or anything. It has to be without blemish. You are to slaughter that lamb, take its blood, put it on the doorposts and the lintels of the home. And then they were to take that lamb and eat it. And they were to eat the lamb, make sure they eat the whole thing. They were to eat bitter herbs and unleavened bread. And when they did that, what happened? When God came in judgment upon the Egyptians, when he came to the houses that had that blood, he would pass over that house. And the Egyptians were commanded by God to celebrate as we hear the Passover. And they've been celebrating ever since. The celebration of God's judgment upon the Egyptians and God's deliverance of the people of Israel. He passed over them. What an incredible story. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but he passed over them. And so they celebrate. But you'll also hear in the Gospels, not only the Passover, you'll hear about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This feast followed immediately after the Passover the next day, and for 7 days after the Passover, they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And for 7 days, they'd have feasting, and one of the requirements they were to have is you could have bread, but it had to be unleavened, no yeast in their bread. For 7 days. And it was all part of the idea of remembering not only God of God's deliverance, but when they rushed to get out of Egypt, in a sense, they didn't have time to leaven their bread as they were leaving the Egypt. The idea of God establishing these feasts to remember his faithfulness and his deliverance for 7 days. So both of these celebrations, both the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they did to remember what God did for them and their protection and his deliverance from the Egyptians. And yes, there are so many more details to each of the Passover and to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but we don't have time to go over them today. But there is one thing I want you to know about these two celebrations, that to the Jewish people, these terms, Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, were united, interchangeable. Listen to what John MacArthur says. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were so closely associated that both terms were used interchangeable to refer to the 8-day celebration that began with the Passover. So what happened here is when they say Passover, they just thought Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Or he said Feast of Unleavened Bread, include the Passover. They were so interchangeable that even when you look in Scripture, when they bring up the Feast of Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they're also referring to the Passover. They're so interchangeable and connected. That's why even the beginning of our text this morning said, well, before the Feast of the Passover, or Feast of Unleavened Bread, or whatever, you'll see different areas where it says that. And in Matthew 14, 12, we see that. Well, before the Feast of, or as she said, before the first day of Unleavened Bread, which was the day of Passover, they're interchangeable. So we see in Exodus, we learn about the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. So the gospel writers want us to know, the synoptic gospels want us to know, one, that night was the institution of the Lord's Supper, and that night was the Passover. But there's a problem we come across in John chapter 13, verse 1. It says that this meal took place before the Feast of Passover. In verse 1, now before the Feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour has come, well, I thought they celebrated Passover. Was John wrong with other synoptic gospels? Because according to other gospel writers, they were having the Passover meal. And if the other gospel writers were correct, Jesus died on the day after Passover, which is true. How do we reconcile the differences between John and the other gospel writers? And as you can imagine, there has been a lot of debate over the statement of John. And I don't have time to go. I mean, you go into one rabbit hole, there's a lot of different rabbit holes when you start studying even just that one, the arguments around John. There's even arguments around, did Jesus really die on Friday? The most common is that he died on Friday or Wednesday. And then they go, why they think it might have been Wednesday, why Friday? And they go through all these arguments. And we don't have time to go through that today. But when it comes to what John says, there's two arguments that help unify the Gospels. And there's many more. And so it's opinion, because we don't know all the facts. We just have to look at the writings and decipher and decide. Well, there's two arguments that bring some unity that I want to share this morning to the Gospels. First, the Jews celebrated the Passover at the time of Jesus over two consecutive days. They just didn't have one day of Passover. The Pharisees would have their Passover first, and then the Sadducees on the second day. And one reason that they would do this is to the time restriction. Josephus said on the day of Pentecost that over about 250,000 lambs were slaughtered. And they look at that, even though the historians have questioned Josephus as an exaggeration, they would say from the different historians would say, okay, there's probably between about 100 to 150 1,000 lambs to 500,000 lambs sacrificed on Passover. And if they look at that, there's no way that the priest had time, even if an army came through, to kill that many sheep in 24-hour period. It's very difficult. And so some argue that to do that, they would have the Passover over 2 days. One day, the Pharisees, because they were, you know, they're one of the two major religious parties, the political parties were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so the Pharisees would have the first, and then with the Sadducees. So this unit would unify the gospel that Jesus had Passover with his disciples on the day that the Pharisees celebrated. And then when he goes and he becomes a Passover lamb, he did it on the day that the Sadducees celebrated it. And but then there's also a second argument that brings a unity to the gospels, and it's this. There are some who believe that the Galileans used a different way of reckoning a day than the Pharisees. Or the Judeans. So the Galileans and Pharisees reckon a day from sunrise to sunrise, while the Judeans and the Sadducees did from sunset to sunset. So then the Galileans could have their celebration Passover earlier than the Judeans. And if this is true, then Jesus was able to celebrate the Passover with his disciples using the Galilean time of celebration. So, when John says that his meal took place before the feast of the Passover, John was referring to the Judeans' timetable. And this should not surprise us because John's gospel in many ways is so much different than the synoptic gospels. And John has a lot of focus on the unbelief and the unbelieving religious leaders that it should not surprise us that he wants us to know, he wanted the writers to know that Jesus did die as the Passover lamb. While you look at the other synoptic gospels, they talk about him having the Passover meal. And so those are two of the different opinions. There's many more. There's some that don't, would not agree with that, but those are two strong arguments in defense of bringing the unity of the gospels, of the synoptic gospels, as well of with John. But I really believe that one thing John wanted us to know, that Jesus died as our Passover lamb. Lord, do you remember the words of John the Baptist? One day, happened twice. The first day, one day he's sitting there, and he saw Jesus walking by, and he's checking out Jesus, and he goes, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then he said that again one time, and two of his own disciples, his own followers, left him to go follow Jesus. Because on the following day, after Jesus had the Passover meal with his disciples, Jesus was to be crucified and die. He was to be the Lamb of God. And that's why John, I think, it was using the Judeans' timetable. So now they had Passover meal together, having Passover meal to celebrate because they're from Galilee. He hangs out a lot of his ministry in Galilee. So he's with his disciples who are from Galilee and they're celebrating it. And then what happens? The next day, that night he's going to be tried. And the next day he's going to be crucified. But do you know what happens the next day? On the day of Passover. Because Passover takes place in the evening at twilight. Between about 3 to 5 o'clock the following day was when the priests would slaughter the Passover lambs. What happened the next day after Jesus had his meal, his Passover meal with his disciples? Matthew says it was about 3 o'clock. Jesus died. So the time that the Sadducees, the time that the people were celebrating Passover down in Jerusalem, when they were slaughtering the Passover lambs, Jesus, the final Passover lamb, was on the cross, and that's about 3 o'clock. He was on the cross, and that's when he cried out, my God, why did you forsake me? The final Passover lamb. And the religious leaders never even saw it and knew. Jesus, the final Passover lamb. Now the background's laid for next week. Jesus, he knows he's the final Passover lamb. He knows the story in Exodus 12 that he's the one to ultimately be the Passover lamb. But before he gives his life, he has some things that he wants to say to those he loves. It's his last word and testament before the cross. Yes, the words and the final words of the Passover lamb. Isn't it amazing? I want to declare today, Jesus is my final Passover lamb. I deserve judgment. I deserve death. But when Jesus was on that cross, he was there for me. And when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cried out those words for me. I should have been up there, but he did it in my place. He is my Passover lamb to appease the wrath of a holy God. He took my place. He was the substitutional atonement. He took my place, the final Lamb of God. Is he, as we have the worship team come forward, is he your final Passover lamb today? Because I'll say this, if Jesus is not your final Passover lamb, then you are destined for God's wrath. Because God will be angry with those who reject his son. He came, he offered him as a free gift to all who believe, to save them from the future wrath of God. And if those people that reject the Son, then God's anger and his wrath will be revealed on them. Is Jesus your final Passover lamb? If he is not, I ask that today be the day of salvation, that you surrender your heart and your life to him. But you may say, Reed, but he is my final Passover lamb. What's my responsibility then? Not only to praise him and worship him because he deserves our praise. He deserved our praise even before he sent Jesus, but he deserves our praise even more. But what are we to do if he is your final Passover lamb? Tell others about your Passover lamb. How you were lost in sin, and Jesus passed over, or God's judgment passed over you. We are called to tell people about Jesus Christ. Are you willing to do that today? If Jesus is your Passover lamb, tell others about him. Let us worship in this last song our Passover lamb.